Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi David Oppenheimer, Rabbinic Coordinator for the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Thank you, Rabbi Oppenheimer, for being here once again.
Thank you very much for having us.
Today, I'd like to discuss the topic of chocolate with you. There are a lot of kashrus and halachic related issues when it comes to chocolate. But one particularly very interesting component of the kashrus of chocolate has to do with the kashering of chocolate factories. First, tell us, there's kosher chocolate, there's dairy, there's parv. Obviously, to us in the from world, it's very important to know what's what and how it's done. So typically speaking, first of all, are most chocolates that are under kosher supervision, are they made in kosher factories or are they sheared with, with
there's larger factories? There's very little nowadays. The kashrus, as Baruch Hashem, exploded so much that any company, a large company of chocolate that wants to market their products will request hashgacha.
Uh-huh.
And there may be smaller chocolatiers, local.
But I meant the larger companies, their own factories?
Yes.
They own their own factories. And are they producing dairy chocolate and parva chocolate on the same lines?
We do not recommend that. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult. The biggest challenge is that chocolate and water do not get along. They do not want any water.
Meaning they don't mix?
They ruin the chocolate. Even small drops of chocolate of water will ruin the chocolate. So therefore, companies do not want to have any water running
through the system.
Running through the system.
Typically speaking, theoretically, if you were able to clean the machines
right.
and then run water through it,
that would be an eitzah.
But you're saying, first of all, they will lose time, effort, the money involved. It's very difficult to do. First of all, difficult to clean the machines. And you're saying even a drop of water could ruin the consistency and the quality of the product.
Correct. So they're not interested. That's not something that's going to fly by them.
Uh-huh. But what's the alternative? Here's the kashrus expert. Okay. What do you do?
In the olden day, there was this concept of kashrus with chocolate.
Right.
Everybody heard about it. I think a lot of people heard about it.
Yeah.
The problem is, Shar Mashkim, we don't recommend, the Gemara says Shar Mashkim should not be used, but the evidence works. But chocolate has a little, Rav Belsky, the Chayyim Baruch held that chocolate is not a mashke.
Because in
an ambient situation, it's hard.
It becomes hard. If you leave it alone, it hardens.
Right. Yeah. So therefore, it does not qualify for kashrus.
Even though at high temperatures, it's liquefied, right? That's...
Well, typically chocolate melts about 98 degrees, 100 degrees. You know, try it out, put your chocolate in the car, a little trip, by the time you come out, it's all melted. Right?
Right.
So this is not going to work. We will not accept a chocolate as a means of kashering.
So what's the eitzah?
So the real only eitzah is, the ideal eitzah is to have separate lines. Now, separate lines also, we have to realize that chocolate companies, they usually have shared steam.
Mm-hmm. Meaning even if the lines are separate. So
that's right. So they use the steam to heat up the pipes. And then, because obviously when they want to work with the chocolate, it has to be liquid. And they have to keep it at 110, 115 degrees at least. And then the steam returns to the boiler and comes out again. So it comes out as shared. So that's not ideal either.
But it's not that they're running simultaneously, right?
Even if they're not, but it's the same water. Uh-huh. It's the same water that went back to the boiler. So even if you don't do simultaneously, at the end of the day, it's the same water.
There's no way to clean out the water and produce new steam?
Well, yes, you could empty out the boiler. I have it in a different company, not in the chocolate company, where they actually empty out the boiler.
They do?
Yes, they do that. But the large companies are not going to empty out
the boiler.
Costly,
time.
Right.
It's a problem.
You have to keep track of it.
Uh-huh.
It's not so easy.
So the eighth is
that we have something called a pygame. We put a pygame into the water. Something called the brand name of it is Bitrix. The chemical name is very long and I don't remember it.
Uh-huh.
But the normal brand name is Bitrix. It's considered the most bitter product, most bitter chemical in the world. And you put some of it into the water and the water is pogum, and therefore they're no longer, you know, the tam is not considered a tam.
And obviously, really. The davar apogim, whatever this is, doesn't ruin the quality of the product, no, obviously, because right? Because it's negligible. It's not.
That's right. And the guy, truth is, guy can understand this whole idea of blias of things. You know, they tell, what do you mean? It doesn't touch the product by any chance, by any imagination. We say understand, but in kosher law, it's the concept of the flavor going through.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, try to explain it to a guy the best you can. But
right.
But that's the idea. So ideally, we should have separate lines. There is, and in hashgachos, I mean, you could do it because chocolate really, if it could run just about 110 degrees, 150 degrees, you could work with it. Okay, and it's workable. So. Now, as we said, cleaning it doesn't work. There's something called the flushing. You run the companies have milk chocolate and dark chocolate,
okay.
Right? So dark chocolate doesn't have milk, okay? So you run thousands and thousands of pounds of dark chocolate until you could ascertain that all the chocolate is out of the pipes and whatever remains is dark chocolate.
Okay.
And then you start running your kosher chocolate.
And then you
chocolate.
Do your parva.
Then you do your parv. You keep the temperatures below Yasser Ledes.
I was
going to
ask you about the bleus in the walls of the
right.
pipes.
That's right.
You don't have bleus of dairy chocolate?
No, because it, you keep it below Yasser Ledes.
Even when you produce the dairy, you keep it under Yasser
Ledes? No, when you do produce
when
the
When you
power.
Do the power.
So therefore the bleus don't come out.
Ah.
Right? So keep it Yasser Ledes. You have to make sure that when it runs into the tank, it doesn't stay kovush. It doesn't stay 24 hours in the container.
That also.
That's, you have to keep track of that. And then, you know, if you really want to be good at it, you send the chocolate to a lab to make sure
to test it.
To test it and make sure there's no milk in there.
And that's sufficient as far as halachic concerns.
Will qualify.
I can imagine from an allergen standpoint that would be sufficient.
Well,
right?
I tell you, even parma chocolates from the best hashgachas have allergen statements.
They do.
They do have
that it's produced in a dairy.
Yeah.
They
have an addition.
Uh-huh.
It does not affect the kosher parma status.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Fine hashgachas do that. Because they don't want to take a crisis when it comes to allergens. You know, it's impossible to guarantee that then, you know, a minimal. But in halacha, it's kederach ha-mechapsim. There's a concept called kederach ha-mechapsim. As long as it's considered clean, that qualifies. It shouldn't be called a question of bittul. So that qualifies for that.
So that. Any final thoughts on this topic?
Yes. Very often they call me questions. Is dark chocolate? There's no milk in the ingredients. Okay, is it parv?
So they wonder if they could serve it with fleishige meals.
You know, not everybody's, there are different levels of hakpada on milk, mm-hmm. Okay? Either for fleishigs or people are not makpid on cholav akum. If it's bottled, they'll be happy with it, right? Then also, there are many in the yeshiva shul maybe, who are same chandat, based on Ramesha status, at least for bittul, they're comfortable with it. So they ask me, well, there's no milk, is it bottled? So the answer is, it really depends. It really depends. If whatever they ran before, the chocolate is very, you work with a lot of chocolate. They put in, there are many different levels of cocoa butter or cocoa liquor, more milk, less milk. If the product before was one, either dark chocolate or very low level of milk, most likely it was butter. If the product before was a high, very high level milk, 25% milk of 8, you know, then most likely the milk is not butter. So for me, it's very hard to answer. Obviously, we don't monitor those kind of things.
Why would that matter in a scenario where you flush the system and then produce parv under Yatzei Ledes?
No. In a kosher style, if you ran parv, then you make sure that it's right.
Right.
But people call me, well, it's, you know, it's dark chocolate. Could I be same as Ledes bottle? People ask me this all the time.
Is it dark chocolate under Ashkacha?
Yeah. But we're not declaring as parv.
Uh-huh.
We're declaring as milk or their equipment, whatever uh-huh. it is. Right? So they want to know, is it bottled or not? The answer is, there's no way to, I mean, there is a way to know. If I'm going to start sitting every time and checking what was run before, what's the percentage, you know, for every, if I'm going to start doing that for every consumer, it'll be a little bit too difficult.
Right.
So therefore, there's no way to know that.
Got it. Well, thank you again for being here. Fascinating discussion and continued hatzlacha in your Avodas HaKadosh.
Amen.